Good morning, my friends. How are we this beautiful day? This beautiful, overcast day. But nevertheless, it is still the day that the Lord has made, and we are gathered in his house today. Today is kind of an interesting day. It's the last Sunday of the church year. And so right before we start looking forward to the coming of Jesus, today we are looking forward to the coming of Jesus, which is the coming on the last day. And so it's going to be, it's an interesting experience to look forward to that, is it not? I think it's very closely related to the everybody wants to go to heaven and nobody wants to die, right? It's sort of like that whole anticipation of all the things that are coming, but then also knowing that that is how God is going to take us to a perfect place. And so as we anticipate that this day, today, let us begin our worship service remembering what Jesus has already done for us by bringing us into his family through the gift of baptism. And so we remember our baptisms as we begin our worship service this day in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we come before you, humbled by all the things that you do in our lives. You who have made us holy, you have forgiven our sins, you who guide us in all things. And so, Lord, we come before you just to listen to your word, and to learn from you. Help us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
His love. Good morning. My name is Jeff Rabe. I'm one of your elders here at St. Mark's. And welcome on this wonderful autumn morning. The first reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, for your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray, that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. At this time, I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message.
So my first question is this. Does anybody know what we're going to celebrate on Thursday? A couple days from now. Zoe, what are we going to celebrate?
Thanksgiving.
Do you guys like Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yes? So I thought maybe this morning we would do a little game for Thanksgiving. Okay? And it's just a game. There's no prizes. But I have some questions for you and see if you can get the right answers, okay? So here's my first question. Which one has a bigger egg in real life, a turkey or a goose? Now, if you think it's a goose, stand up. If you think it's a turkey, stay seated. So if you think it's a goose, stand up. If you think it's a turkey, stay seated.
Turkey.
You know what the answer is? Goose.
What?
What?
How did that just stand up?
Okay, I looked it up on the internet. It's got to be true. Actually, a goose egg is about 5 ounces, and a turkey egg is about 3. So we should have been standing up for that one, but that's okay. I have more questions. Here's the next question. On Thanksgiving, do people eat more green beans or corn? So if you think it's corn, stand up. If you think it's green beans, sit down. Actually, on Thanksgiving, it's green beans.
Yeah.
What? What? Okay, you guys all knew that, didn't you? Actually, corn is the most popular vegetable in America, But at Thanksgiving, it's green beans.
I love corn.
I love corn, too. All right. Next question. See if we can get this one. At Thanksgiving, what do people eat more of? Stuffing or mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes.
If you think it's mashed potatoes, stand up.
I love mashed potatoes.
If you think it's stuffing, stay seated.
Stuffing.
The answer is actually mashed potatoes.
Yay!
Just by a little bit. Just by a little bit.
I only got one question, right, which is mashed.
That's okay. That's okay. I have one more question. And this one is actually really important. These were kind of fun. But this next question is kind of important. Which one is bigger? God's love or my sin? If you think God's love is bigger, stand up. If you think my sin is bigger, sit down. The answer is God's love. Yay. It was the easiest one, wasn't it? Okay, so have a seat for a second. And we're going to talk about this. How do we know that God's love is bigger than our sin? So God's son, do you know his name?
Jesus.
And God had his son come all the way down to earth, and he lived on the earth, and he died. And he died on a cross. Did he die because of all the bad things he did?
No.
He died. Why did he have to die if he never did anything wrong?
To take away our sins.
Yeah, my sins and your sins and all of their sins. That's why he had to die. He was perfect. But he died for us. And then God raised him from the dead. Guess who else gets to be raised from the dead? Me and you and all of them if they have faith in Jesus. And that is the most important thing to be thankful for at Thanksgiving. So if you go around the table and people say, "What are you thankful for?" You can say, "I am thankful that God's love is much bigger than my sin." And so I have for you, before we leave, I actually have a bookmark with pretty fall colors, and it just says, "God's love is bigger than my sin." And you can keep it and see it every time you read your book, or you can give it to somebody else. And if there's extras, they'll be out there, and you can give them to whoever you want to. But remember, God's love is always bigger than our sin. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, thank you that your love is bigger than my sin. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I would still counsel you to be very careful about trusting AI for theological questions. Anyway, folks, the last Sunday of the church year, and you're like, "Wait a minute, this isn't the end of the year yet." Well, in the church year it is, okay? The church year and the calendar year are close, but not quite. And basically the way the church year works is the very beginning of the church year is... not Christmas, Advent. God doesn't want to send his son into the world until we anticipate, all right? I mean, how long did God's people anticipate the coming of Christ, right? I mean, they were waiting in eager expectation for the Messiah to come for a very long time. And we don't want to forget that whole period of Scripture. And so we have this time of of Advent where we are waiting. And on, the kids all know about what it means to anticipate Christmas, right? The rest of us want time to slow down because there's too much to do before Christmas, but the kids are anticipating and they just can't wait for Christmas morning to come purely with a giving heart. But the thing is this, is that we get it, and then Christmas begins, and then we go into the Gospels, and we like study what it was that Jesus was preaching and teaching during his ministry, and then we end up getting to Lent, where we are anticipating Jesus' death. Jesus dies, and then what happens? Easter, he rises again, and then we go into the period of the church, the time when God's will is being played out in the lives of the people who he has brought into this faith and tied to himself and thus tied together as his children in this world. And he uses and works through us to do his work. And then it comes to the time of the end times. All right, now, this is one of those places where we get a little freaky about it, right? Because every once in a while, you see a sidewalk preacher, and he's wearing the sandwich board signs, right? And what does he have on his sign? The end is near, right? And everybody looks and rolls their eyes and tries to avoid him because he's obviously a kook, and we don't want to think about that right now. You know, I'm having a good day. Things are going well for me. I don't want to think about the end being near. I'd much rather just continue to go on with my life. And in fact, we will actually a lot of times avoid thinking about anything negative because, you know, we see that as a bad thing, right? Look at all of the prophecies about the end times, right? There's things like the abomination that causes desolation. Or isn't that great? Yeah, that's fun. And then there's if you read Revelation, you know, we have the Antichrist coming into the world, deceiving people and pulling people away, and the Christians are supposed to just hang on until Jesus comes again. Isn't that great and fun to think about? You know, and then what else is there? Oh, there's the great and fearful day of the Lord in Malachi. There's a lot of really scary imagery when it comes to end times. And, you know, is that how God wants us to view his coming? Well, then why does he make it so scary? Well, it kind of goes like this. We are at war with ourselves. You understand this, right? I mean, you experience this on a daily basis, right? Do you want to do what's right? Most of the time, right? Do you want to do what's right? Now that we can actually say yes to, right? Because we definitely want to have the right heart, but sometimes our heart isn't right. And the Bible talks about this in terms of our baptism, right? That in our baptism, our old man is drowned and killed, and we are born again with the righteousness of Christ, with the life of Christ, that we live in him, that our life is in him. And because our life is in him, our life is eternal. It doesn't go away, right? And this is incredibly good news for us to know that we have life in Christ. But here's the problem: that old man doesn't want to stay dead. And he keeps coming back. And he keeps trying to come back into our life to invade this holy life that God has given us. And our job is to put him back in the grave. It's our job. That's what our role is. We got to keep, every time we see his work in our life, every time we are tempted to sin, every time we fall into sin, we repent, which is to turn away from that sin and turn back to Christ and thereby putting the old man back in the ground. And this is a long, difficult struggle. The old man wants us to think about earthly things, right? He wants us to focus on, let's face it, anything other than Jesus. If he can get us to think, worry more about politics, it can take all of our attention, all of our energy, all of our focus, and pretty soon we don't have any attention or focus left for the only one that deserves our attention and focus. If he can get us more worried about the drama that's going on in the relationships around us, he can make it so that we don't have any extra left over from our primary thing, which would be all that drama, to spend any attention on Jesus. You see how this works? The devil is trying to deceive us. He's trying to lead us away. He wants us to pay attention to anything other than Jesus. And if we start paying attention to the things of this world, and we hear in Scripture that this world is going to end one day, that becomes frightening for us. It becomes frightening because we are attached to the world. That the world becomes primary. And the thought of it going away is terrifying. But if instead our focus and attention is on Jesus, if we are focused on him, then the last day is not scary. Because nothing that matters to me most is going to be taken away. And instead, I can focus on the fact that while the things around me are going to be taken away, that nothing that we touch or taste is going to last forever, I will last forever. And not just last forever, but I will live forever in the presence of the one who is the most important to me. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, I will be able to stand in his sight and worship him forever. As a child, it scared me to worship forever. The whole idea of spending forever in church was, for a rather ADHD child, was a little daunting. You know, the whole idea of having to sit still and pay attention and not get distracted and was unthinkable. What does it mean that we keep our eyes on Jesus? It seems like a difficult thing to think about, right? Because here's the thing. If we're going to keep our eyes on Jesus and only consider, how do we live? I mean, if we only have our eyes on Jesus, then how do we deal with our spouse? You know what I'm saying? I mean, do they need attention? How about your children? Do they need attention? A lot of attention, right? How do we live as a Christian in this world? How is it that God says spend or focus your attention on Christ and look at him only, but at the same time, notice the people around you who are in need. And if you see somebody who's hungry, feed them. If you see someone who's thirsty, yeah, you get the idea. How do we have both our eyes on Jesus and look at the world at the same time? And the answer is this. God's not telling us to not see the world. He's instructing us, see the world through Jesus. Okay? I mean, here's the thing. If I asked you today, I said, how's your marriage? You know? And you know, you'd probably have good things and bad things to say. You'd be like, well, this is going well and this is not going well. But here's what I ask. Now look at your marriage through Christ. What's Christ's expectation for your marriage? Wives, honor your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, are you honoring your husbands and helping them? And because let's face it, they need help. We know this. I'm one of them. I know this, right? I couldn't manage life without my girl. She is absolutely essential to my daily functioning, all right? I'm a person that forgets to eat, all right? It's not like this is optional, but my question is this, is that wives, are we living out our lives in a way that is in service to our husband as you keeping and honoring not just him, but God at the same time? Are you familiar with what it is that God wants from you in your marriage? And are you taking an active role in making that happen? Husbands, are you pouring out your life for your wife? Are you more interested in her holiness than her happiness? Are you interested in her Christian faith and her eternity? Are you supporting her in her faith so that she can continue to grow and be the woman of God that she's supposed to be? Are you living for her? Or are you putting your own self and your own desires first? Parents, your children, are you parenting your children in a way that brings honor and glory to God? Are you, again, more interested in their holiness than their happiness? Are you more concerned with them growing as Christians and having a tight relationship with God so that they will, in this life, have peace knowing that their God is with them? And in eternity, knowing that Jesus died for them and that they are going to spend eternity with him. Are you focused more on that than on their success in the world? Because tell me, which is more important? Are we the neighbors that our neighbors need in Jesus' eyes? Are we kind and nice? Sure. Do we lend them our stuff if they need it? Sure. But have we ever broached the topic of eternal life with our neighbors? Do we see our neighbors the way Jesus sees them? Do we love them the way Jesus loves them? Because Jesus is more interested. He wants us to be happy. He does love us. But he is more interested in us being in heaven with him forever. And if it takes hard times for us to trust him, he will give us those hard times because he loves us that much, right? He's more interested in our holiness than our happiness. Folks, this is the theme. You want to examine your lives. Every New Year, or every New Year's, people do this, right? I mean, at least some do. But we examine our lives and we think, how is my life going? Is this what I should be doing? Is this, what can I improve? How can I fix this stuff? You know, it's like the when you go to the gym in January, it's packed. Wait for February. You'll have lots of room. But the thing is that the question that I have for you is this. As we are heading into this, as we're celebrating, as we're gathered around Jesus on this last Sunday of the church year, examine yourself. And again, are we doing this because we have to? I mean, if we don't examine ourselves, are we going to hell? Is this what gets us saved? Well, no. What gets us saved? Jesus, that we trust in him because the Spirit gives us faith, and we look to him for our salvation. We look to him for leading. We look to him for everything. He is the source of all things. But when we're looking at him, we see all of these things in his eyes. And then we do the work of God in this world. And we serve intentionally and humbly, not according to my own understanding or my own reasoning or my own best ideas, but we look at the world through God's eyes. How in the world are you supposed to do that? How does God see things? How would you know? That's what the Bible is for, right? And every Sunday, Pastor Josh and I will stand up here and we will proclaim to you truth from God's word, but there is so much truth in God's word. We get to preach, what, 52 Sundays a year, right? Plus extra services like, you know, Easter or Christmas, I guess, is not necessarily on Sunday. And, you know, so you might have some extra services in there. Can we cover all of God's truth in a year? Not even remotely. So what responsibility does that give you? What opportunity does that give you? To take this word of God and digest it. Don't just read it, think about it, study it, read books about the big book, do things to learn and to understand and to grow so that when the time comes, you will know. You'll be ready. You know, the thing is as much as we don't like the guy with the sandwich board, he's right. The end is coming. Now, how near it is in our terms, I can't tell you. I mean, that's one thing. The only thing we know about the day that Jesus is coming back is that nobody knows when he's coming back. It's the only thing we know. But don't we want to be ready? Or do we want to be like the teenager whose parents go on vacation, right? And when do they start cleaning up? Yeah. How well does that work? I mean, it looks great as long as you don't look too close. Blur your eyes, don't open the closet door, and definitely don't look under the bed. Right? I mean, is that the model that we want for our lives? That we're just going to hang on until the last possible minute and then try to do all the stuff God told us to do in the last second? Or wouldn't it be better if we lived with him, guiding us? If we learn from him every day? If we see the people around us through his eyes and serve them just like Jesus served us? As we are anticipating this last day, the last Sunday of the church year, as we're thinking about Jesus coming back for us again, let's take a moment to examine our lives. Not so that we can be saved, that's taken care of, but so that we can be God's hands and feet in this world. So that we can be the spouse God wants us to be, the parents God wants us to be, the neighbor God wants us to be, the church member God wants us to be, so that we can serve him. And there is nothing like that anyplace else on earth when we are finally doing the things that God called us to do, the reason God made us, the reason we're still here in this world. So my friends, it may not be pleasant, probably won't be. You're going to see a lot of stuff if you start really looking at your life. But remember that all the stuff that you find, all the sin, all the places in your life that you have not given over to God, all that stuff, it's been paid for. And it's so essentially important, because this is not an exercise that, you know, in which you flog yourself and make yourself feel guilty. That's not the point. The point is, this is an opportunity for us to turn over to God the parts of our lives that we are still hanging on to, because if we hang on to them, they will hold us back. And we will not be able to serve God the way He wants us to, and the way we want to, or at least want to, right? Folks, let's pray as we enter a new year. Let's turn ourselves to God. Let's turn away from the sin. Let's turn to Him, and let's see our lives and all the things around us through His eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we welcome You in. And it's a little bit scary because You're big and you really do mess with us and change the way we see things, Lord. But Lord, help us to be strong. Help us to keep our eyes on You. Help us see things Your way. Help us conform all of our lives to Your will. Help us live for You as You have lived for us. Help us forgive as You forgave us. Help us sacrifice as You sacrificed Yourself for us. Help us serve as You served us. And Lord, I pray that most of all, that You would return soon so that we can start spending eternity with You. All this we pray in Your name. Amen.
God in you.
Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the words of the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Jesus, help us to turn our eyes to you. Help us to see our relationships through your eyes. Help us to care for others as you care for us. Help us to make the most of every opportunity to share your love with others. As well, we come before you today with the prayers of our people. We continue to pray for Josh Liebman, and we thank you that he has a surgery date, and pray that you guide those who are going to be giving him care and be with Josh as he anticipates his upcoming surgery. We thank you that Pam Hafner had a successful eye surgery this past week and pray that you would grant her healing and recovery. We pray that you be with Zachary Hafner. Grant him hope, patience, and perseverance as he seeks to have custody of his daughters. We pray for Camille Williams, the cousin of Lewis Johnson, as she mourns the loss of her elderly parents, Valerie and Cornelius. Give her comfort and surround her with people to show her care. And Lord, we pray for all those who mourn the loss of Yvette, Lizzie's grandma. Give Lizzie and all those who are mourning her loss comfort and peace. This day we also pray for all of our first responders, especially this day we pray for firefighters. Grant them protection as they go and serve the people in the many ways that they support their community. All these things we ask in your holy name, and thank you that you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Thank you. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Please be seated. This Friday, we had an awesome thing that took place at the school. Ahead of that, there was a fundraiser where we raised thousands of dollars by the children of the school selling TJ's pizzas and other things. And so to celebrate that, well, it was an interesting experience. I have a little video to explain it better. Enjoy. Yes, so basically the top three individuals who raised the most support for our school got to do that. And well, all I can say is it was several hours before I stopped smoking sugar, to be honest. But we got through it. So anyway, I just wanted to share that joy with all of you and the fun that we have at our school. This time I'd like to dismiss any kids who are going to go to Sunday school can go out to the back and meet with Ms. Laura and our DCE. But I do have several other announcements. Actually, the next thing I want to do is invite Lewis Johnson up. He has an announcement to share.
Thank you very much, and I love those pictures. I'm glad that wasn't me, though. Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know you, I am Lewis Johnson. I have the pleasure, along with Andy Bates, to be on a committee that is looking at the feasibility of starting a Lutheran high school here in West County. And so, yeah. So what we are doing, we're starting today just with the ministries that are in our circuit. So that would be King of Kings, Lord of Life, New Life, New Beginnings, all of the churches that are part of this circuit. Everyone, you should have in your bulletin a flyer that really just, again, kind of talks about there's this committee that's looking at the feasibility of starting a school. It's one thing for us to say we would love to have a Lutheran high school, and this is like the very first step of now we're going to start gauging community support to say, you know what, we would like to have a Lutheran high school. And there's a survey, so if you go to the QR code or if you go to newlutheranhighschool.com, you'll be able to complete a survey. We will be now then disseminating this to out everyone within our community, so every household in Eureka, Wildwood, Ellisville, Baldwin, Manchester, everyone's going to get this survey, but we're starting just with the congregations within our circuit. So please, even if you don't have school-age kids, if you're interested in supporting a school, there's a way for you to make that known to say, yes, I may not have school-age children, but I would love to support a Lutheran high school, and you can put however you would like to do that. But again, I just encourage everyone to take time. It's just maybe about 5 minutes, the survey. So thank you very much, and God's blessings.
Thank you, Lewis. Excellent. The next thing I'd like to direct your attention to is we have another bulletin insert about Giving Tuesday. Again, it's a common practice in our country to support a nonprofit on Tuesday after Thanksgiving. And so we're encouraging you to consider supporting our Cornerstone Ministry. Our Cornerstone Ministry does so many things to support individuals who are struggling in life and various reasons for that. And so consider supporting that ministry here at St. Mark's. As well, we have a couple more items on our tree out there as another way that you can support individuals in need. And so if you have not yet done so, or even if you have, and you're like, yeah, let me see what's out there, go ahead and check it out and see what still there is need for supporting people who are struggling, especially even in these holiday times. Also want to note, tomorrow is the last Monday night Bible study that is this year for the ladies that gather on every other-ish Monday night. Are you going to pick back up in January? I'm seeing a nod. Fantastic. So, but yeah, tomorrow night, last one. A couple other quick things. Thank you. Thanksgiving Eve service. So this Wednesday, we have a service at 7 p.m. I will be here. And so I'd love to see all of you to join us as we give thanks to God for the many things that he does in our lives. We have a prayer gathering. We invite everyone to pray for life issues, joining us for a prayer gathering next Sunday. Before worship from 8:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. So if that's something you're interested in joining in, that'll be happening again next Sunday with the Life Team in the prayer chapel. And then two other things. We have Advent devotions available in the lobby. We have some for family, some for adults. Check them out. We got them there, I think, at the Welcome Center. And then lastly, again, we have a family meeting today. And all of you are part of the family, so I would love for you to stay and hear about what's happening in this church. And also, we will be electing of new elders and electing our board of directors who have come to the end of their terms. And so please stick around for that. Otherwise, thank you for coming. Pray you have a blessed week. God be with you.